We are doing this subject on the seventh seal. Okay. Doing the subject on the seventh seal, the approach to the seventh seal. And I want to speak on the appearing and the coming, but it's not the detailed. I'm going to do an overview because I'm introducing these things. So, our Bible reading, Revelation 3:20, let's stand together as we take. I know you stood before. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and and sup with him and he with me. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. You may take your seats. So Revelation 3:20 is speaking about something, and we want to go more into. So one of the keys to unlock the seventh seal and the ministry of the Son of Man is to understand Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So when we are reading Revelation 8 and 1, the Bible says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half hour. So in one of our series, we are going to look at the silence in heaven. I was supposed to do it today, but I said, let me do it at another time. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I want you to also remember that everything that we bring to you, everything that we teach you, right? You got to empty yourself of every other teaching that you've heard outside the apostolic ministry. It's going to conflict. And so you are going to struggle with it. So whilst there was silence in heaven, right, which is that Bible says when there was silence in heaven, there was somebody on the earth. So we must take into account many things because the Bible is telling us about Revelation 3:20. We have Revelation 3:20. All right. Now, when you're looking at Revelation 3:20, there are many scriptures that goes with it because there's somebody that is standing at the door. That means someone is here. That means he was not here, okay, before. He was not here before. You say, but why would you say that? When you start looking at scriptures, you'll be going to read in the book of Revelation, behold, I come quickly, behold this, behold that. And then suddenly you find, I am here. We will look at those scriptures just now. Now, when you're looking at Revelation 3:20, you got to also remember this scripture is tied. It is tied to Revelation 8 and 1. So Revelation 8 and 1, Revelation 10 and 1, 2 Thessalonians, is it 4:16? Okay. Then you have lots of other scriptures like 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Just nothing before the time. All right. So these scriptures are, you need to understand that these scriptures are telling you that something is taking place that the world knows very little about. So look at these scriptures. We're going to use this quite often. We're going to use this quite often, the scripture. All right. So the Bible is telling us that Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me, hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. So in Revelation 3:20, there's an invitation for the bride under the seventh seal. Now, I have a problem here in that I went to you and I told you about the bride. So that means there's an invitation to the bride, and behold, I stand at the door and knock. So in order for us to understand a few things, I've done this at Bloemfontein. I hope to do this next week, God willing, because Brother Larry was telling me that we plan to have visitors. All right. So we know that from 1906 to 1963, we know how do I do this, Lord? This is the Pentecostal age. Okay, this is the Pentecostal age. God is speaking. Brother Branham is here very briefly. It's a starlight ministry that's going on, right? It's a starlight ministry that's going on. And also it's called the Days of Preparation. Because why? It's preparing for revelation, preparing for this person. All right. So in 1963, so here he calls them church. That's why I came here. He calls them church. From 1963 to 1965, he says, I now call you bride. Am I correct? So from 1963, So this here is Revelation 3:14. I'm trying to avoid this, but I can't, because it means I must go into next week. 3:14, he is doing the church, is now a church age messenger, right? Then he changes. In 1963, he becomes Revelation 10:7. He does the work of a prophet. Here he does the work of evangelist. Okay. All right, so I'm going to stop here, because if I go any further, I'm going to confuse you. But you hold these thoughts here. All right. So let's go back now. Let's go back. So there's an invitation for the bride. That means now, here in 1963, that's where the invitation is. Because here they're called church. Here they're called bride. So we must understand that something takes place here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, very important. Revelation 3:20 is broken up into two parts. So Revelation 3:20a, we can call it that, has got first and second pull. Okay, it's got first and second pull, and then you have Revelation 3:20b. Okay, you hear, someone says, if you hear my voice. So hold that, okay? Because all these things are tied together. So there's an invitation for the bride under the seventh seal. Now, those of you that would remember, I said to you that here's the plan. Here is the plan of God. Brother Norman can bring it up. I think it's the first seal. Got it somewhere in my notes as well. Here's the plan of God. think it's my other notes. I think it's next week's notes, Brother Norman. You don't have next week's notes. I'm still preparing them. But bring that up. It's in the first seal. Here's the plan. That means God has to first declare his plan. And he says, here's the plan. So we'll look at that quote just now. So Revelation 3:20 has got first pull and second pull. But I did say to you that the age started in 1906. This is the Pentecostal age that started in 1906. When was the prophet born? Sorry? 1909. He was born in 1909. So when he came in 1909, the church was already scrupled up. Okay, it was already scrupled up. The age has started. That age has started. And so I want you to notice something, that from 1909, when he was born, you hear very little about Brother Branham from 1909 to 1946. Very little, which of course we call it the silent year. And you see the same thing about Jesus. You hear about his birth, and next thing you see him in the temple. Nothing in between. Nothing in between. All right? So here's the plan. Okay. Here's the plan of it. The first thing happens, there is an announcement in the heavens. All right? So let's write this down. So you have heavens. There's an announcement in the heavens. No, okay. Let's go back to the quotes. So switch it in between. So it's heavens. What is it? A seal is opened. So you have a seal opened. All right. A mystery is unfolded. What's that part? When a mystery, there is a. It's another one, Brother Norman. Says not yet fully revealed. Okay, yes, it there. All right. Okay. And so you have a mystery. A mystery, right? Now the mystery is not fully revealed. Now this is very important because we must not take it for granted. All right. Not yet, when the mystery unfolds, and what happens, he goes and declares a war, then the plague falls, all right, he says the mystery not yet fully revealed, he catches the mystery, goes out, and he starts declaring the mystery, and what happens, so let's look at this now, so you have, he first declares it in the heavens. The seal is opened. A mystery is not fully revealed. He goes out and declares spiritual war. God drops a plague. And then he seals. That's the plan. It's been a plan for all the ages. Are you with me? So, now in 1909, the age of Pentecost opens up. The Pentecostal age starts. So if the Pentecostal age starts, that means there has to be something opening up as well. Because you can't have an age opening up if the pattern is not the same. And so we see that when Brother Branham comes on the scene, when he comes onto the scene, there are many events that are taking place. Now, I want you to hold this over here, all right? And because we're going to tie this now, just now. All right. So, Revelation 3:20 holds the mystery of a person. Holds the mystery of his power. Holds the mystery of his presence. Holds the mystery of his ministry. and holds the mystery of his promise. That's Revelation 3:20. So you cannot isolate Revelation 3:20 and look at it. Well, people look at it from a message point of view and preach evangelical. God is knocking at your heart. This is about an age. Okay, this is about an age. So let's define the following truths found in Revelation 3:20. The person at the door in Revelation 20 is emphatically God himself. Now you're going to say, but so we're going to prove that Revelation 3:20 is God himself. Now, but my subject is the appearing and the coming. Remember that. Because we're doing the approach to the seventh seal. It's the, we want to know what is the appearing and what is the coming. Is there a difference about this, or is it the same word? So his power is part of his characteristics that identifies who he is. Because if God does not identify who he is and does not show his characteristics about his power, then we will never know it is God. We'll think, well, it's just somebody, yes, just about anybody. Because this Revelation 3:20 is also going to identify that his personal presence is with us. So we have personal presence, and now we have the other word, which is called representative presence. Now, you go to Pick and Pay. Raymond Ackerman started Pick and Pay. When you speak to Raymond Ackerman, you are speaking to the owner himself. That's the personally. I spoke to Raymond Ackerman personally. But when you go in and you speak to the customer service, you are speaking to somebody representing Raymond Ackerman. And they are empowered or delegated to do a certain thing. But they're not empowered and delegated like Raymond Ackerman, because nobody delegates it to Raymond Ackerman. Okay? He's the owner. He doesn't have to consult. In those days, he never used to consult with anybody. He just decided. Like, did you know that the Pick and Pay place that you go to, it's that they don't own the building. So why did he took a decision in the early days that he needed money to open other branches, so he didn't think he's going to be so big. He sold the place, but he decided to rent there. So he could decide that. He could decide that. Why he did that? Because he doesn't need to explain to anybody. Let's move on. So we are seeing the same thing here, the characteristics. So his ministry at Revelation 3:20 is a ministry of Son of Man, because the ministry is promised in Luke 17:30 and Luke 21:27 onwards. So for as the lightning that lightened from one part under the heaven shineth to the other part, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Like you see lightning from east goes to the west. So what you see in the east, you are going to see in the west. Now that is showing you Son of Man to Son of Man. Okay, hopefully we'll touch on that next week. Son of Man to Son of Man. What happened in the east will take place also in the west. Even thus in Luke 17, thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So the word revealed, okay, is to be made known, to make manifest. All right. So that means something is going to take place to reveal Son of Man. Now, I told you this, that Son of Man has got many meanings. Don't look at Son of Man as just one thing. Son of man can mean that you're a son of a human being, the human class. Son of man can also mean a prophet. Son of man can also mean dispensation. Son of man can also mean ministry. Son of man can also mean God in a form of a prophet. Different meanings. Okay. And so when you read these things, you must understand it's not pertaining just to one. So what we have learned, Revelation 3:20 is introducing the person, is introducing the presence, okay, introducing the power of God himself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, all right? So God's manifestation of his power was under the first pull and second pull, identifies that nobody else can do this. First pull and second pull was showing to you and I that nobody could do this. Why? Because the first sign of power introduced the presence of the omnipotent one. You see, in the life of Brother Branham, he comes along, he takes them by the hand, he says, I notice you got this disease. And the angel of the Lord said, if you can get the people to believe you. Now that, people don't understand the believe you. Believe him to be one sent of God. It says, nothing will stand in your way, not even cancer. And if you listen to Billy Paul's testimonies, he will tell you that after the meeting, they will sweep off the floor stacks and stacks of growths that fell off people's skins and whatever it is, gravel race course, 7 truckloads of crutches. Now, showing you that there was the presence of somebody who was so powerful that nobody could do what he is doing. Because Nicodemus said that to Jesus, no man can do this unless God be with him. That alone is a Godhead scripture, if you didn't know. So the first pull is telling you about the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, the one who could heal all diseases, okay, because he's the healer, and the one who can stop the corruption of the body. By this we mean by stopping sickness. So under the first pull, when they heard thus saith the Lord, they knew it was a finished work. And he could not say thus saith the Lord unless it was the Lord saying it, either by a vision. You know, a couple of times in one place he says, why did Meda leave this apples that are so rotten or something, all right? And then he realized he was at a vision. And then the angel of the Lord told him to go back and give so-and-so a message. So when people heard, thus saith the Lord, they knew God had spoken. That's what thus saith the Lord means, the Lord had spoken. So here there was somebody here that was able to go and reverse the cells in the body, do a change in atoms. Nobody can do that. This is talking about somebody who can stop corruption of the body. Because this can only be the Creator who can change our mortal bodies. This woman that we saw in the book, I think Prophet visits South Africa, skin and bone. She was Florence Nightingale. That when the prophet saw, she was so thin, she was so skinned down to the bone, all right? And they had to just cover with a cloth. And when they gave her a couple of days to live, And if you look at the photograph, you'd never say that was Florence Nightingale. Now, no one can do that except the Creator. Okay? Now, I want you to remember this, is that there's a big difference between the gift of healing. Okay? The gifts. You can have the gift of healing where a minister can lay hands upon you and you get, and you say, wow. But this is a completely different thing now. This is completely different to what you hear or what you see in those campaigns. The campaigns of the that you've been to. This is completely different. Because this is a Creator coming down who's the healer, and He's the one who creates the new heavens and the new earth. He's showing you He can create a new body. The Finland boy that was mangled and by the roadside and he was dead. Who can bring somebody to life like that? Only God. Only God can do that. So the first sign of power also declares He is the restorer, the redeemer, the one who can restore our body, our spirit, our soul. He can bring back. There are people that died in the meeting. The Lord brings them back. And there are so many examples where they asked Brother Brandon, please pray for my son. He said, I saw him in the presence of that light. How is it possible for somebody to do that? And then he says, look, it's better for him to be there than to bring him back. There are many examples to tell you that there was an, if I can use this word, extraordinary power and miracles taking place that was never recorded before. Did you know he says that he did more in this day than in the days of the Son of God? The Bible that you're reading about, God did more in our day through this ministry than the days of the Bible. So the first sign is speaking about the presence, the person, and the ministry, the one who can stop and the one who can create. Okay? And the one who can bring back. So He can restore all things. He can bring all things. Therefore, He must be the Redeemer. So it's telling us that Revelation 3:20 is that there is somebody here. But Revelation 3:20, brothers and sisters, as I said to you, starts not in 1963 or whatever it is. It goes right back to the time when this prophet was starting his ministry. And you say, but where? 1946. You see here? 1946. 1946 is now telling you that the seventh seal is open in part. The seal here is open in part. The church world, the message community, only knows that the seventh seal is about the coming or the corporal body. But they don't know much about the appearing and the coming of the Lord. So, if He can restore all things, He can bring all things back. So, He's the Redeemer. So, He must be the Creator, must be the one on the earth. Now, how does one go and do fishing? When Isaac goes and does fishing, he knows you pull the entrails of the fish out, the fish should not live. And you see this prophet throws it back and the fish comes back to life. It's not Brother Branham, please. There is another presence that's doing this. There's another presence doing this. And you're going to understand why God is doing that. Why is he doing that? So the person at the door in Revelation 3:20 is God himself. So we are showing categorically, Revelation 3:20, this is God himself. The second sign of power was to identify the omniscient one, the all-knowing one. Nobody can know what you do in your private life. Okay? What you think in your private life. And there's nobody there. And how does he know this? How does he know this? How does Brother Brown standing behind the pulpit has his back to the church, says, your name is so and so. You live in a certain place. Now we can take a chance sometimes. But this prophet never, it was not a guesswork. It was thus saith the Lord. I mean, how does one know that there's a woman coming with a brown coat, the hat has to be in a certain place, okay? The person has to sit in a particular place, and he sees that in the future, and he says, I can't take the coat and put it there, or take the hat and put it there. It has to play out. And this is how I want you to understand it. What did God do? He shot a movie before the beginning. He shot a movie before the beginning. And he gave a preview to this prophet. Everything you are doing is in a movie. It's recorded in the mind of God. And you're just playing your role. You say, no. Eddie Bisker. He has a vision. A little boy with a checkered shirt comes and measures those horns. Okay? And Brother Branham was looking for the brother with the checkered shirt and there was nobody there. And so Brother Branham said, well, it must be in another, maybe in another place because I saw this vision. I saw this movie, Brother Larry. I saw this movie. All right, a sneak preview, and I saw a checkered boy there. He was measuring. So, well, maybe next time. On the way, they're doing hunting. Brother Eddie Biscoll falls into the pond, dirties himself, realizes that we have a long way to go, goes back to where they were staying, goes into his duffel bag, and there is a checkered shirt. Slips it on, not thinking anything. So sometimes our very accidents are part of the plan. Our very accidents, our slip-ups, our falls, our failures is part of the plan to fulfill the vision. That's why I said, life is living forward, but learning from the back. That's how we learn life. You cannot know the will of God. You just got to live your life. Right? Because the will of God is in the word of God. And as you continue studying the words, oh, this is the will of God. I know the will of God spiritually. Naturally, I don't know. You use God. And then you look back and say, oh, so all this was part of the plan. I didn't even know that. So, Eddie Biscoll fulfilled the vision. The omniscient God was able to know these things. He knows all things. The vision was fulfilled to the T. Even with, he was always getting weak. And the angel said to him, one day, there'll be a woman with a brown coat coming in. Says, when she comes to those meetings, he says, the weakness will leave you. How does anybody know that? It has to be the omniscient God. The all-knowing one, the one that knows everything. That's why I want you to understand He knows you. He knows your beginning, He knows your coming, He knows your mistakes that you made. You know, sometimes some of us live with such regrets. Oh, if only I never did that. If only I... That was your lesson. That was part of your script. It's over now. It was part of the script. You lived the script out. Just move on. So, second sign was to identify the omniscient one, the all-knowing one, the righteous judge. He's the one that could tell him so many things. He could tell him so many things of what was in the book. Because he's the all-knowing one, the righteous judge. You know, like you and I can take a lot of guesses. I told you about some of the meetings that we've been through, and you can go to an Indian campaign and you can guess somebody's name. I mean, you don't need discernment to say that somebody in this church has got a backache. And some people say, oh, wow, how did you know that I got a backache? Come on, you're sitting on the chair. Back must pain. There must be somebody. But this was not a guess. This was specific. That could give you details about you went to a doctor. And this is what the doctor said. That no man knows about, he's telling you. You lived in a certain place. There was one where Brother Brian says, your name is so and so. You live in a certain place. And there was somebody in the meeting. Ah, you know what? Now we got Brother Branham. We know this lady. She doesn't live there. He's lying. So they go to her to verify these things, only to find out that very morning before the meeting, she changed address. Who can know that? Who can know that? Nobody else but the righteous judge. He's the one that's on the earth showing this prophet visions. And the prophet could read this movie and telling the people, this is what's taking place. This is what you did. It's like, you know, the famous one, he speaks about this woman who was going insane. She was going insane because she was carrying so much of guilt in her. And she can't handle it. It was, you know, when you carry a lot of guilt in you and you don't put it right, it shows in your body. Nervous. She said, no, hold it. You're sitting in the car. There's a train line. This. Husband was there and they were getting upset and so forth. She said, I can't go tell my husband this. He'll leave me. You know, you better go talk to him because he did the same thing. Now, how would somebody know that? 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Okay, that actually should be appear, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of their heart. Then shall every man have praise from God. That's speaking about our day, where God was revealing the contents of the heart, revealing the Catholic Church, revealing the mysteries, revealing to you the Trinity, revealing to you the riders, revealing to you the false church, the anointed ones at the end time. That's 1 Corinthians 4:5. That scripture there runs very, very deep. So the one who can tell the secrets of the heart, this is called the messianic sign, or the messianic identification. You know, you remember Philip? He says, you see, Nathaniel, he says, you were under the fig tree. He says, but I knew you before you were called. Now, fig tree is not fig tree. That fig tree speaks of a nation, speaks of his tribe, speaks of his family. All right? So, for the one to know the secrets of the heart is a messianic sign. Telling you that at the end time, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto thee. talking to Moses, getting fulfilled in our day, God coming to know the secrets of your heart, revealing the things of your heart. All right? He knows the names of all stars in the heavens. He is the one that told Brother Branham, Irenaeus, Martin, Luther, Paul, and so forth. Nobody else knows that. Because the book of, I think, Proverbs or Psalm says that he numbered it and he named the stars. It is he who knew and revealed the names of the seven stars in the seven church ages. Because he knows everything. Not even the sun. Not even the angels knows this. He knows the name of everyone in every section of the book. He knows the Lamb's book. He knows the foolish virgins. He knows the human class, the serpent class. You know, he knew the sections of the ages, the messengers that's going to come. Because he's the one that knows all things. He's the one that sends angels. He's the one that sends his son. He's the one that holds the mystery that's in the book. He knows where you live. He knows what you did. He knows what you're doing. And he knows what you will do. He knows exactly. He knows this week. That's why when you pray, you should be praying, Father, this week, please keep me. I can't keep myself. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know our failures. I don't know who's going to be with us, who's not going to be with us. We don't know. He knows what you are sick with. Only God knows that. For example, lady comes to him all worked up and she says to Brother Branham, you know, it's my heart. He says, no. He says, somebody told you that you're anointed with an evil spirit, got you all worked up, made you nervous, got your heart. He says, no, that's not it. That's not it. How would he know these things? Go and watch Deep Call to the Deep. Goes there. Stop. You felt something? He says, you felt something? He says, yes. And he begins to tell her what the people told her about her, said she's a witch and so forth. How does he know that? How does he know that? No, he doesn't know that. There's a power on the earth that knows that. There's a presence on the earth that knows that. That is now giving him a preview of what took place. That now he could repeat it and say these things. He knows all the secrets in your heart. He knows all demons by name. He knows all the secrets and the mysteries in the book. He knows every demon. He knows what was under the seventh seal. The seven seals. He knows. This is, we talk here about God. He knows everything that's under the seventh seal. He knows what the thunders were. So we must conclude the person at the door in Revelation 3:20 is God himself. The Son does not know everything. Although the world is preaching and singing about Jesus, the Son doesn't know everything. I mean, there's hundreds of scriptures to say, I can do nothing unless my Father shows me. There's hundreds of quotes to support that. God holds the mystery, right, of identifying the presence of the Almighty God. He's the only one that can identify his presence. Now, how will God do this? How will God identify his presence? Now, he has to do something extraordinary. I mean, he doesn't come there and say, okay, we're going to have a tent meeting, but let's lay hands upon you, this. This is an extraordinary, I forgot. This is also tied to Malachi. What's it? Is it Malachi 4, the son of righteousness? Shall rise with healing in his wings. Malachi? Maybe Brother Norman can bring it up. That is telling you that on the end time, there is going to be a ministry, the son of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. That this healing is going to take... Now, don't fall for the gag of people saying that there's a ministry equal to Brother Branham. No. There's nobody that's going to equal that ministry again. It has come in and it has gone because God is the one that basically wants to show that son of righteousness, okay? That's Malachi 4:1, 4:2, okay? But unto you that fear my name shall the son of righteousness arise in healings, and he shall go forth and go. Now that's also a compound scripture, but to tell you that there's something on the earth, there's a healing revival going on that has never had before. Now, also coupled with that is, you remember I said to you that he has to first declare this in the heavens. He has to declare this in the heavens. So, when Brother Branham was born, there was a constellation. There was a constellation. So, every one of you are born under a star. And your star affects you. Your star. And whatever star period that you're born in affects you, has an effect on you. So, when he was born, he was born under a certain constellation, and that constellation, now you've got to listen to me very carefully, had an impact on the earth that from 1906 onwards, you will see that they were feeding off that anointing. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that you go to a meeting and you feel so charged? That you go out there and you feel excited. That's what it was at that time. Because the Lord was prepping for a prophet to come on the earth. And in 1909 is going to come. You're going to find that constellation was affecting that age. Okay, affecting that age. Where now everyone that was in the ministry that was coming under that kind of a constellation was tapping into that gift that's coming on the earth. You see, but why? It was, if I could say, it was they were caught under that anointing because that anointing was for a ministry to come on the earth. But they, if you go and read in that time that of the miracle that took place in the Pentecostal age, because it was the restoration of the gifts. Pentecostal was the restoration of the gifts, not by the men like A.A. Allen and all these people. It was because of the gift that was coming to the earth in the form of a prophet that the Lord's want to declare something, all right? So, he himself declared that he is the judge. He says, Behold, I stand at the door. All right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So the two signs was to identify his characteristics. All right? His characteristics of being the omnipotent, the omniscient one, the all-powerful one, okay? The omniscient one, right? So these are the two signs of being omnipotent and omniscient, because you can't know everything. You can't know everything, right? Secondly, This is also about the Holy Ghost himself. So this behold, I stand at the door and knock is the Holy Ghost himself. Or we can say this is the judge. You say, but why the judge? Because he is the one that judges the harlot. The harlot has already been judged. Denomination has already been judged. You know, we have this very funny understanding about judgment. We think that when we go out there in the last day, there's a huge queue. 7 billion people standing in the queue. And they're all waiting. Okay, you said this to so-and-so on that day. You did this. All right, you did that. You know how long that's going to take? You think elections was bad? No. Everything has already been judged. It's only on that you're going to find out is that they're just going to get out whatever the rewards were. The serpent class have been judged. Catholic Church have been judged. The lukewarm, the bride. Everything has been judged already. Say, how? The ministry that came upon the earth, there was a judge already that came down. So this is also, we can say this is the Son of Man. We can say this is the Lord himself. So Revelation 3:20, we can say it's the Holy Ghost. We can say it's the judge. We can say it's the Son of Man. We can say the Lord himself. Why the Lord himself? Because Psalms 110, there's a Lord said to my Lord. The Lord said to my Lord. So why the Lord himself is bringing clarity. He's been specific. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. 2 Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. The two signs was to identify his personal presence in appearing personally and manifest himself in human flesh in a single man. Okay? Why? Because the Lord was using one individual and is manifesting himself. Now, very important, Brother Branham was not the incarnate God. Okay, he was not incarnate, but he was anointed by a presence. Right? So we are seeing here, it's the personal presence, and now we're using the word, he is appearing personally. Now, we're going to clarify these things as we're going on. The two signs was to identify his ministry as Son of Man, as promised in Luke 17:30 and Luke 21:27, the two signs. Because only God can know all things and only God is the creator, he's the only one that's all powerful. So behold, I stand at the door, holds the mystery of the personal appearing and the presence of the Almighty God himself. Are we good? As he starts to declare his appearing and presence in 1946. So in 1946, and I was telling you, the seventh seal opens in part. The seventh seal opens in part. Now I want you to remember this, is that you by now you would know that the first four seals equals to seven church ages. The first four seals equals to seven church ages. All right? The first four seals equal to seven church ages. All right. So these are stars. These are stars that are anointed by the eyes. Now, the seven spirits, the seven spirits represent the Father. You got to follow me carefully here. I did this before. Represent the Father in the seven ages. In the seven ages. we're going to prove that the Father left the earth after Paul. The Father left the earth after Paul. That was the last prophet that saw the pillar of fire. You know that God now lives in a body of light. Are we good? He lives in a body of light. And the last person to see that was Paul. So the first four seals equals to seven ages. And they are represented by seven stars, which represent God. Or should I say this? The seven church ages represent the sun. The seven angels that come to anoint the seven messengers for their ministry, they represent the Father. So this is called the representative presence of God. Representative presence of God. God, the Father is represented. So this is the dove. And this is the lamb. Dove, lamb. The Father is represented by the seven spirits that comes to anoint the seven stars. The seven stars bring a message for each age. Apart from Paul and apart from Brother Branham, these were all apostles and reformers. And then we had a prophet messenger. Okay, we had a prophet messenger. First four seals represent the seven church ages. Seven church ages are represented by seven stars, seven spirits. So this becomes the representative presence of the Father and the Son. All right, so this starts in 19. This starts from the seven church ages, first four seals. Now, so that means Brother Branham's ministry was under, as a church age messenger, that will make him under the fourth seal. Why is a church age messenger? Is a church age messenger. So that means now that there must be something greater, anointing greater, to have the appearing of the Lord, to have the two signs. That's why in 1946 he stands and says, I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord. That, the brothers and sisters, introduces the seventh seal. Now, this is where a lot of the message people don't know about this. They can't preach it because their understanding of the seventh seal is just one thing, the coming of the Lord. But here, I'm here today to destroy that and to show you something else. All right, so he starts to declare his appearing and presence in 1946. In 1946, by behold, I stand at the door and knock. So you have, when he says, I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord, that's the knocking. So the knocking is the first two pulls. This is the knocking, the first pull. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are the first two pulls. Because it's identifying his personal presence, not his representative presence. Now, do you understand now? Representative presence was the angel coming to anoint them for the ages. But this presence now is doing something greater. Or two signs. This is very important Bible principle for believers to learn and to understand. The law and the concept of personal and representative must be taught. That is what I'm trying to show. It's so important for you to know that in the seven church ages, there was angels coming to represent the Father, and the messengers were representing the Son. So that's why it's called, the Bible speaks of the Lamb that had seven eyes, seven horns, because they were, sorry, there's so much running in my mind. They were representing the Son of God. Luther was representing the Son of God that was on the mercy seat. That's why Godhead was not made known after Paul. So the difference between the personal presence of the Holy Spirit and the representative presence of the Holy Spirit. So in the seven church ages, the seven stars represented the Holy Spirit. Okay. The seven church ages represented the Holy Spirit because the seven stars, see, our chart didn't change. The seven stars represented the light for the age, and Paul or Luther and Wesley represented the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit here comes in the form of seven angels. The seven angels, those angels, that's why before the throne of the Father, they come to anoint the messengers. So now Luther becomes the Holy Spirit to the people. You see, lots of time people think Holy Spirit is just one thing. Holy Spirit is a gene. Help me. Let's see how much you know. I turn over because you know all these things, all right? Let's turn over. Some people wonder why I don't use the board. It's because the board is it's a lot of work to clean. So this one, you just thank you, Brother Denzel. All right, so let's go here. So what is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit has got many meanings. It's got many meanings, many applications. And if you don't know, Holy Spirit is a dispensation. The Holy Spirit is a ministry. Holy Spirit is God. Anything else? Holy Spirit is your gene. Are you with me? So, Luther came in, he came as a ministry. Holy Spirit himself. You got the Zoe of God, Christ in you. So, when you're looking at the word Holy Spirit, you can't just bring it to one person. You die right there. So you have the personal presence of the Holy Spirit, which is God. God comes down in Revelation 3:20. All right. Then you had the representative presence. This is in the form of seven stars. And they represent the ministry of God and the ministry of the Son. Do I make sense? So when you read or study the church age book, if you are not taught the law of personal and representative presence, okay, what's going to happen? You are going to pervert the scriptures. Okay? You'll pervert the scriptures. Perversion of the scriptures, perversion of the message, and you'll pervert the doctrine of appearing and the coming. And that's where the problem is in the message community. They're not taught this. That's why the first generation and the teachers and the pastors taught that the first 1963 was the coming of the Lord. I've been to one country and I was preaching this. I didn't even know. I said to them that the seventh seal opened in part. And the brother did not interpret that. Then the brother came back to me. He said to me, "Did you know that when you spoke this, that pastor did not interpret this?" I said, "No, I did not know that." He said, "Yeah, he didn't say that." He says, "Because they stopped there because they believe that 1963 was the coming of the Lord. And it led to many false teachings. That 1963, the coming took place, so there's no communion, there's no feet washing. We're in the millennium. The rapture has already taken place, but they're still taking tithing. That they won't forget. They stopped communion. That's the truth. Then the country's been to. They just stopped it. They said, no. The Lord came now, so we don't do feet washing. We're in the millennium now. You know, sometimes when people say they're in the millennium, I say, no, come to South Africa, park your car. And leave your keys there. You know, you'll know whether you're in the millennium or not. You know, when we went to, sister and I was in Switzerland, and the guy, brother took us to his house, and he left the keys in the car. I said, wow, how do you leave your keys in the car? So no, in Switzerland, there's no theft here. I'm thinking, well, wait till we go there. Millennium will be over, you know. Now, if any, if any brother comes up, any pastor comes up, any elder comes up after us, and they don't understand this concept, and if you don't teach your children this concept, they're going to miss a lot of things. Because this Revelation 3:20, the appearing and the coming of the Lord, is very, very important to know the difference between the personal presence and the representative presence. Why? It's because if you don't have this, it's because the pastor does not know Godhead. You can see where the problem is? If they don't know the appearing and the coming of the Lord, they don't know Godhead. So if you want to witness to somebody, take Revelation 3:20, work it backwards with what I showed you, and then you'll realize, hey, the reason why they can't explain it to you, who's knocking at the door. They're going to tell you, no, that's the first pull, second pull. But if you take these series and you show them, then they'll realize, hold it, they don't know Godhead. They have not been taught. So if you're not taught about Godhead, you're not going to know the appearing and the coming. You see, but why? Because it's going to conflict. Because he's going to teach that 1963 was the coming of the Lord. Or they're going to teach it's the phases of his coming or his word coming. They say, no, it's a phases. But it's not in the scripture. The Lord doesn't speak of phases. You'll see just now how emphatic this prophet is. Okay? The Holy Spirit himself comes only in junctions of time. So you've got to know this concept. You've got to listen to what I'm saying. You've got to learn it. If you want to witness to somebody, use this approach, the appearing and the coming of the Lord. If you don't want to use that approach, the other one is the mystery of indwelling, which we do normally as ministers. How does God dwell in you? I was studying and I picked up this quote in Future Hope, and he says, the Son of God comes to live in you. Now you try and work that thing out. If you don't know your Godhead and how God dwells in you, you're going to run into trouble. But that's very easy to explain, but I'm going to do that today. So the Holy Spirit himself, his personal presence only comes to major prophets. It's not minor prophets, it's major prophets. So only in junctions of time does the personal presence of God comes. Not all the time. Not in minor prophets. Only at junctions when God's going to turn a corner, when it's a different period, if a different dispensation and so forth. The Holy Spirit himself, his personal presence can be in one place and at one time. And that's the speaking of the mystery of indwelling. Off my head, and I taught you this before, many people believe that that God is omnipresent. And Brother Branham says, he says, God is not omnipresent the way you think he is, that he fills every crack, every crevice. He says, that will make God like a myth, a story. He says, but God dwells in a place and at a and in one place at any given time. Because he says, God is a being. God is a being. He can only dwell in a place. Like you can't be in two bodies at the same time. So God can't be in two bodies. You see, most of us think that God is here. God's not here. And you say, then why I came to church? Because he's represented here by his word. He can't be here. You say, but why, Brother Louis? Because you can't stand in the presence of the being. I taught you that before the beginning, the series before the beginning. And people come with a story, the Lord came to me. He dropped in my spirit. What? No, he only comes with major prophets. If he came in the time of Brother Branham, believe me this, he can't be anywhere else. But Brother Louis, how is it then India was having a revival when Brother Branham was at the Greville Racecourse? There were angels representing the meetings. You can't be in two places at the same time. Impossible. All right? Although science is trying to say that you operate in two worlds, they speak of another world and so forth, a parallel government, parallel world, and so forth. No. You have a theophany, but there's nothing in the theophany. Because your soul has to go in there. Are you with me? So God himself, the Holy Spirit himself, can only be in one place at one time. So after the death of Paul, the pillar of fire left the earth, which is the personal presence of God. And incarnated the Son in the heavens. All right? So the personal presence of God, the personal presence of God left the earth and incarnated the Son. So Paul was the last one to see the pillar of fire. Remember, we did, it was investments. It says, and when Paul saw the pillar of fire and called himself Jehovah, he says, I am Jesus. He says, when he saw that and he realized that Jesus was actually Jehovah God, he took out the new policy. He realized that Jesus, Jehovah of the old, is Jesus of the new. He only changed his mark. Not talking about the Son, but talking about the Father. That's why if your Godhead is wrong, there's a lot of things that goes wrong in the church. That is why when John was taken up in the spirit, John saw the one God on the throne in Revelation 4. I saw one sitting on the throne. Not two. I saw one. How? Incarnated in the Son. He was incarnated again in his Son because he has already left Paul in the earth in his priestly role. Now you got to follow me carefully. Okay, because we can read some things, do some things, so that you can understand. So Revelation 4 and also the church ages, it declares one on the throne, which was the Almighty God according to the prophet of God. So we're going to support this personal presence, the return of the Holy Spirit in the last day. So the personal presence of the Holy Spirit only started manifesting himself in 1946. In 1946 is where now God began to manifest himself. So you got to watch a few things now. Okay? You know, many years ago, I was reading this quote. I was reading it, and I could not understand it. I just could not understand it. And let's read it. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost itself. And I was just thinking, well, what does it mean? Holy Ghost itself. It's only when God had broke up to us, we begin to understand that. This is talking about the personal presence of God. And so is this the time? There is some of the mysteries. The pillar of fire returning back. So why would, when I say I'm returning, that means I went. Now, many a times you are going to read the quote. Maybe the brother in the back can pick this up. It says, and Luther saw the pillar of fire and he came out. But I want you to understand how it's been used. The last time the personal presence of God was on the earth is when he spoke to the last apostle Paul. After that, the pillar of fire was not seen for 2,000 years. Do I make sense? Right. We good, eh? Now, if the pillar of fire was always here through the seven church ages, why did the prophet have to say the one of the mysteries is the return of the pillar of fire back to the church? You can read it in Sirs this time. Why did he say one of the mysteries is for the pillar of fire to return? But yet you pick up a quote where he says that and the one will say, but yes, Luther saw the pillar of fire. You can't take both. Prophet says on one hand, the pillar of fire was bound for 2,000 years, right, by the river Euphrates, now released now, or the Holy Spirit. You can't use both. One of them must be right. What did Luther see? Luther was anointed by a ministering spirit. See those seven angels that comes to the seven messengers are ministering spirits. Ministering spirits was the one that comes to anoint. That's why you'd find even Brother Brown speaks about this. Okay? So many times that there was an angel, a ministering spirit, and there was God himself. The token. Israel knew something was coming. I did this when I did the ministry beyond the grave. I showed you this quote. In this, Israel knew that something was coming. So did Luther know it. So did Wesley know it. Knox and Finney and so forth knew it. They knew that there would come a time that the pillar of fire would return back to the church. Luther knew it, Wesley knew it, everybody knew it, but it was not there. Because it was not the time, it was not the season for the presence of the Lord to come down. They know there would come a time that things would happen and they would live to see it. And they looked, they didn't live to see it, sorry. And they looked forward to it. So Luther did not see it. Although, you'll find a quote which says, and Luther saw the pillar of fire when he came out. No. He had a revelation, the just shall live by faith. It was not God himself coming and telling Luther. It was an angel. You know, when we went to Wittenberg, sister and I were in Wittenberg in Germany, and Luther was writing the Bible, was there, and so the guide was saying to us, he says, in this place in Wittenberg where Luther was, he says, they're showing us this rock, he says, the devil came to Luther and began to talk to Luther. And Luther was busy writing, translating the Bible, and he took this thing and he threw it onto the wall. He threw it at that spirit, and all the ink was there. You know, all the ink was on that wall. And you know, human beings are so funny. So every time people began to visit to that place where Luther met the devil, people began to pull plaster off the wall. So when Sister and I went there, there was just a small piece of ink left on the wall. There wasn't much there, you know. But Luther never saw God. He never saw the pillar of fire. It was just the angel that came to anoint him. Just like how the devil came there and threatened Luther. So at that point in time, the angel came to protect Luther. Did you find that quote, Brother Norman? It's important for you to, because one day somebody's going to give you this quote and say, but your pastor didn't say this. Here's a quote here. But here I'm showing you. He says they didn't live to see it. They never saw the pillar of fire. Okay? I was wondering why my notes went so small. And in the days of Luther, 1500 years of darkness, Luther saw the pillar of fire and moved on. He came out of the Catholic Church and followed the pillar of fire and brought tens of thousands. Then Luther built Luther built under the pillar of fire. And when he got down there, the first thing you know, when you hear this prophet speaking, and one day the pillar of fire began to move, and then Wesley came up, he's not speaking about God himself. No. He's talking about the ministering spirit coming down in those ages, coming to show Luther, Wesley, Irenaeus, and so forth. Okay, they look forward for the coming of the pillar of fire, but they enjoyed the representative presence. They have enjoyed the representative presence of the Holy Spirit. Are we good? All right. So the personal presence of the Holy Spirit came and started manifesting itself in 1946. In 1946, at the end of the service, he says, do you know who I'm waiting for? He says, I'm waiting for the angel of the Lord. All right. So, in Feast of the Trumpets, he says, the Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years. There's a confirmation now. The Holy Spirit, which is God himself, was bound, they couldn't bind God, but the ministry could not come for 2,000 years. It's going to be loosed in the evening time by the evening message. We'll touch this later as we're going on. The Holy Spirit back in the church again, Christ himself. That's what the prophet is telling you. So he's declaring the personal presence of God back in the church. He's declaring the personal presence of God back in the church. Okay? How he's revealed in human flesh at the evening time. So when the Holy Spirit returns, he returns back in human flesh. The person of the Son of Man. That means now God's using a body, anointing that body. That body is seeing a vision, and that angel is teaching him, and now he's talking to the public. As I said to you, God did not incarnate the Son, the body, Brother Branham, but began to anoint him. He was with him. Because if God incarnates him, he becomes God. Okay? And God only incarnates his Son. So, when the Spirit returns, it's the ministry of Son of Man. So, in the seventh seal opens in part in 1946. In 1946, all right. So, 1946. Now you're seeing the Son of Man with the first and second pull. The Son of Man now in the first and second pull. This is God. So now, so this is the seventh seal. You say, but why? Now, I don't have a chair, but he says the seventh seal brings him to the earth. The seventh seal brings him to the earth. All right? Maybe the brothers can pick that up before I expound on that, okay? So this is the seventh seal. So the seventh seal is not just one thing. It's not just one thing. So when we begin to start seeing this, it makes a lot of sense to say, wow, it's a lot of things that's out here. So it's the dispensation of Son of Man. It's a dispensation of Son of Man. God willing, we'll break more into this quote, okay, about this dispensation of Son of Man as we're going on. All right, so let me go back. As if the brothers are bringing up the notes, let me go on reading from my notes now. So the Holy Ghost himself, or the Lord himself, or the personified. So we can say it's the Holy Ghost, or we can say it's the Lord himself, right? Himself was not personally present in the seven church ages. God was not there. Because if the Lord comes in, brothers and sisters, it is completely different scene altogether. The meetings are different, the anointings are different, and so forth. All right? Now remember, okay. So the seventh seal brings him to the earth. The seventh seal brings him to the earth. Now, when the Son of God comes, does he come to the earth, or do we meet him in the air? Anybody? When the Son of God, when that corporal body comes, if I put it that way, when that corporal body comes, does he come down, or do we catch up? Are we caught up? We caught up. So what is that now? Seventh seal brings him to the earth. 1946. The Lord comes down in 1946. It's the appearing. It's the appearing of the Lord. All right? The Holy Spirit himself, or the Lord himself, or the purified himself, was not personally present in the church ages, okay? His presence was represented by seven spirits, which I told you that, all right? Or seven angels, called seven eyes, or seven lamps. They represent the dove or the Holy Spirit in the seven church ages. Do you understand that now? All right, I already did that. So the Son of God was not personally present in the church ages. He was represented by seven stars or seven messengers. These were earthly messengers representing the Lamb on the earth. That's where the problem is that in the seven church ages, God permitted them to preach that Jesus the Son is God. Because it was not revealed. And people do not know they are worshipping creation rather than the Creator. Because they've got the appearing and the coming wrong. So in every age, the Lamb or a heavenly angel came to the earthly star, okay? So in every age, you had a dove, you had an heavenly angel coming to the earthly angel or the Lamb. Because Luther was the Lamb of God for that age. Remember the vision that John saw a Lamb. That is speaking that when they received Luther, they received the Lamb for the day. They received the mercy for the day. So every age, there was the ministry of the Lamb and the ministry of the dove on the earth. I guarantee you this, brothers and sisters. is that the reason if people make a detailed study of what I'm preaching today and outside our church and the churches under the apostolic work, and they look hard at it, they realize how far they are when it comes to understanding the seven seals. They represented the ministry of Jesus Christ whilst he was away. So, Luther represented the ministry of Jesus. Irenaeus and so forth. Because he was gone away. Oh, Lord. When I go away, I'll send you another comforter. Help me, brother, in the scripture. Somebody else. When I go away, I'll send you another comforter. Who was that? I will not lead you orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. Telling you is that when Jesus was on the earth as the incarnated God, it was the Father saying, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How is he going to come to you? By ministry. The seven stars will represent the Lamb of God. The seven eyes, the seven spirits will represent the Father. That is how he was with the church. I will pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. You know what comfort? I'm not sure if this brings it up. Parakletos, advocate, comforter, the one who pleads another's case before a judge, a counsel, a legal assistant, one who pleads another case, an intercessor. Oh, Christ, pleading with God and the Father for the pardon of our sin. When they believed the just shall live by faith, that was bringing mercy to them. That was bringing mercy to them. The Parakletos, the Comforter. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you fatherless. That's why you'd find that when from 46 to 63, 46 to 63, there was a group of people that were sealed. That was sealed. And they were sealed under the age of Pentecost. They were sealed under the age of Pentecost. That is why you'd find Eddie Biskell, Perry Green, and all those brethren that were with Brother Branham. They preached about the experiences of this prophet, what he did, what he didn't do, and so forth. You know? And they never spoke about doctrine, the seventh seal, and so forth, what you are hearing today. The personal presence, representative presence, and so forth. You see, but why? Because they were sealed in another age. You cannot be born in two ages. You can't be birthed in two ages. All right, I do understand there's a lot I'm saying to you. Go home, record, listen to this whole week. Okay. His personal presence and his personal appearing and presence started in 46. Under the first pull and second pull, and also it was declared, right, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. My goodness, this typing all went off, okay. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So this is the personal presence of God. This is the first time now that he comes down. And that's the first time now the seventh seal opens in part. Seventh seal brings him to the earth. Now it starts of the ministry of Son of Man, Omega. Son of Man, Omega. The word I is a personal presence of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Which is called the presence, which we call the presence of God. Parousia is a Greek word. Means power, means with. Ousia means being. It's a being with us. That's what Purusha means. There's a being with us that's on the earth. Now, I want to show you something. If you can go home and you can read your Bibles. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. But look what the church ages were doing. In the church ages, in Revelation 2 and 5, he says, I will come to thee quickly. That's in one of the church ages, that's in the second church age or so. And I'll remove the candlestick. 2 and 16. Repent, or I will come quickly. Another age. Repent, I'll come quickly. Another age, 2:25. That which you have already hold fast till I come. All of this is saying, look, I'm going to come, I'm going to come, I'm going to come. Okay? Revelation 3:3. I will come as a thief and as a night, a thief, and thou will not know the hour I will come upon thee. So all of it is telling you, I'm going to come, I'm going to come, I'm going to come. And then Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that which is fast, that no man take thy crown away. And what do you see in Revelation 3:20? I'm at the door. So all the angels say, I'm going to come, I'm going to come, I'm going to come. I think in Christ the mystery of God revealed, my ministry is to declare that he's here. Who's here? You see, the problem with this is that if you have your Godhead wrong, you don't know who to say who's here. You don't know what to say, because if we say he's here, then what are you doing here? That's why some people went off on a limb and preached there's no communion, no feet washing. You know, we're in the millennium, brother. But they still take up tithes and offerings, eh? Sorry, it's there, okay? My ministry is a different ministry from a pastor, teacher. I'm not. If I say things wrong, brother, I don't mean it. But this is my ministry, to declare him that he is here. Well, that's from the beginning, okay? From that time. My ministry is to declare that he is here. That's his job. All right? Let's go on. There are manifold manifestations of the personal appearing and the personal presence of the Holy Spirit himself. So there are many places that we're going to see that the Lord manifested himself personally. We're closing now, okay? There's a family appearing of the Holy Spirit over the prophets cradle at the time of his birth. When he was born, his mother and father, his parents said, there was a light there. That was the family appearing. There is an official and personal appearing of the Holy Spirit in a whirlwind when he was just a child and a voice came to him, and also in a cave. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body, for I have a work for you. That was the personal presence. It says, I've come from the presence of the Lord. In 1946, where he received his official commission, the whirlwind warned him to prepare himself for the ministry, a work that will come, and in 1946, the work was commissioned. The work was commissioned. All right, the whirlwind came to him. Don't drink, don't smoke, don't defile your body. There was a public appearing over the Ohio River when the Lord himself appeared in the pillar of fire publicly in 1933. 17 person, he was baptized in 17 person. Light came down, just like John the Baptist, a light came down. Then in Houston, Texas, 1950, there was a scientific appearing of God himself, taken a photograph with his prophet. You remember the time when the doing all those funny things, best, okay, the picture day, all right? It's scientific, that's a scientific appearing of God. In 1946, the pillar of fire appearing in power behind human flesh in the first pull and second pull, that's the Son of Man ministry, that's Luke 21, 27, part A, the Son of Man revealed in power. God revealing himself in power. Because Luke 27, part A, has got A and B. He comes in power. He comes in glory, comes in cloud in 63, and comes in glory when the Word was now made flesh. Then there's the appearing of the pillar of fire in cloud and glory. That's 1963. Here you are. Okay. Appears in glory, 1963, February. Now, I was saying this to somebody that in the early days, the books were not freely available. That means that when Brother Branham was on the earth, they had the reels and tapes and so forth. And one man will basically have the tapes, go home, listen to it, share it with somebody. There was not too many books present at that time. And so what had happened was that when that cloud appeared in the life magazine, possibly I'll bring it next week. I've got it at home, the original one. And I hope I don't forget. It was not like that, by the way, the original one. Now, the ministers did not have all the books and the tapes. So that appeared showing that 28th of February 1963 was written by a non-believer. The Life magazine was written by a non-believer. Now, the ministers obviously did not have all the books and the tapes, and I don't blame them for that. So what happened? They went out and preached the 28th of February. The angel of the Lord met Brother Branham. Now, 28th of February is a season where javelinas should not be hunted, like how you have shad season and so forth. Javelinas were not hunted. And Brother Branham was banned, it was banned for you to hunt a javelina. And then Rebecca Smith in the Only Believe magazine said that Brother Branham was not there on the 28th of February. That threw the message community in a turmoil. Because they were talking about the 28th of February, they're typing this the half an hour with the cloud, because the speech shows you all the Brother Norman, you can bring that up if I forget. I'm sure you can bring that up in those magazines somewhere along the internet. It is, and you'll see all the time periods. This is a space of half an hour. So people were typing. People, wow. This is really something. So people went off in the limb and they began to start preaching and say, no, well, that is the head coming. This is, you can see the head, you can see the face, the face of God and so forth. And it went off to different stories where people began to preach that it's now over, the rapture's taking place, we're in the millennium, this, that. Because they never had all the information. And I don't blame them for that. I remember when I came into the Message Church, and I heard the people preach on 28th of February, and I stand before the pulpit and I say this to you, I phone ministers and said, where did y'all get that from? Where did y'all get 28th of February? Because I don't find it in the message. Years later, this whole thing just boils over. Jeff Jenkins, Luck Anthony, everybody just goes to the window and leave the church now. They say, no, Brother Branham is false, and this cloud never appeared, and somebody says it's a rocket. Brother Branham never said he was the 28th of February. You can go and check the message. But he does say that cloud there appeared was a result of seven angels. I was there sometime before or after that. And come and follow me. But it was the ministers who went out there and said 28th of February 1963. And everything went into turmoil. That is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, that you stay very close to what we teach you. Don't try to add or take on things from Google and so forth. You land yourself into a lot of trouble. I wasn't shaken, by the way, when I heard about this in the early days. And people say, hey, yeah, you heard about this stuff. It never fazzled me a bit. Because I knew about this, but it's only when I met the apostolic work, I realized that there is a quote that supports that, which says that he was there, come and follow me before that meeting. There's another quote which says, and as the angels lowered themselves, But we'll go more into this to show you that, you know, to tell you that just be careful, because they don't understand the appearing and the coming of the Lord. Did you find that, Brother Norman? So when this picture appeared, when this picture appeared out there, people began to make doctrines onto this, okay? Let me just go up there. Just as I looked there, right there, angel, just as plain as it could be, right? In the picture, I looked to see when it was. It was a time, sometime about 2 days after I was up there. Okay? So, when you're looking at those pictures in Life magazine and so forth, don't blame Brother Branham. Blame the ministers who went out there and began to start taking that non-believers thing and adding all these things there. Let's go on. The cloud represents the word, and the glory represents all the word that is behind human flesh. Okay? Because the Bible says it comes in coming cloud and in glory. So cloud represents the word. You say, how? Because the Bible says my word will become like dew, you know, like cloud and like rain and so forth. And all the word of God was now behind human flesh. The prophet of God says, where is God's glory? He says it was behind Moses. Where is all his glory? It's in his word. So his word was now veiled in his prophet. His word was now veiled in his prophet. So there's a personal appearing and a manifestation in power, in word, and in flesh in 1965. So in 1965, you would find who, he says, who is this Melchizedek? What happened now? Brother Branham is about to leave the scene. He's looking so much like this word. He's not the word now. But now God now uses that body in such a tremendous way. In 1965, he comes and preaches, who is this Melchizedek? Right? And that's when he turns his back. You could read the message to tell you that there's a power on the earth that has never been known before. He did not say, who was that Melchizedek? Because it's, who's this present day? Personal presence of Melchizedek on the earth. Even the titles is telling you now, study the titles. Who is this Jesus called Christ? Somebody is on the earth that the world knows little about. There are 7 identified personal presence and manifestations appearing over the parousia of God on the earth. Okay, there's 7 of it. The first generation teachers, because they don't understand the difference between appearing and the coming of the Lord. They don't understand the personal presence. They don't understand the appearing and the representative presence of the Lord. It's because they have the wrong Godhead. If they have the wrong Godhead, you can't bring this down. Because you bring the wrong Jesus and you're going to break the scripture. To understand the appearing and the coming of the Lord, one has to understand the concept between the personal presence of God and the representative presence of the Almighty God. Something which I taught you now about these angels, the 7 stars, the 7 spirits. The 7 stars represent the Lamb of God. The 7 spirits represent the Father. The 7 stars represent the Lamb. The 7 spirits represent the dove. But in the when the 7th seal opens in part in 1946, there's a different anointing on the earth. We're coming to a close now. The prophet explained the importance of the doctrine of the appearing and the coming of the Lord. He explained it. That means it's very important. You have to teach it to the church. Because if they don't know the appearing and the coming, they're going to have a problem. It's very important to understand their personal appearance, the personal presence or the parousia and the representative presence of God. If you don't understand this, concerning the doctrine of the appearing and coming, the prophet said this, the appearing and the coming are 2 different works. I'm bringing this to a landing now, so follow me carefully. There are two different works. He went on to say the appearing and the coming are two different things. It's not the same. The appearing and the coming are two different words in the Bible. They are two different things. They are two different words. They are two different works. In other words, the Greek word of the scriptures, the appearing and the coming, has two different meanings, two different distinctions, and identifications. In Perseverance, did you know the Bible speaks of the appearing of the Lord and also the coming of the Lord? So the prophet is telling you the appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. There's a difference between the appearing and the coming of the Lord. It's two different works. Search it and find out if that's right. The appearing and the coming is two different things. The appearing is the Lord appearing now. The Lord appearing now. We see him in the same works. The appearing is Holy Spirit, but his coming will be in a physical being. It will be to catch the church up. Do I make sense? That's what the prophet is telling you in the message, Perseverance. Okay? So the prophet is saying the coming will be in a physical being, incarnate God in his Son. So what's going to happen is that the Father, God himself, is amongst the people, not with you, in another dimension. And for you to understand that, you must understand this, is that when Brother Branham leaves the earth, Brother Branham leaves the earth to slip into another dimension. And when you read the book of Acts, you see that when Jesus died, he went to preach to souls that are in prison. And he preached to the elected. Are you with me? Now, don't you think that if that was Son of Man Alpha, and if this is Son of Man Omega, it will not repeat again? Because here's the thing. Oh, Lord, help me. Right? Because this thing goes to something else. Because remember that Luther, Wesley, John, Irenaeus, and so forth, even Paul, they did not have the seventh seal. Paul said that I might know him in the power of the resurrection. Paul did not know the power of the resurrection. Paul never had first pull, second pull, third pull. Irenaeus, Martin Luther can't rise up as a Trinitarian. They need a gospel. And Brother Martin said, they need this. He says, Luther needs this message to rise up. So who's going to take it to them? Well, this is how the first generation say, no. We're going to call them up. You can't even call yourself from the grave. How are you going to call the seven church ages? This ministry that we have leaves this earth with the pillar of fire and goes and visits the seven church ages messengers, not the people. That means those seven messengers are taught. They teach their people because they are gathered under their own. Brother Brown does not see Paul and all these people. They all gathered under their own lots. They are taught by their own mess. There's a ministry going on out there. Are you with me? There's a ministry going out there. So when they come up knowing their God. They don't come up as Trinitarians. They don't come up as oneness. And so, Brother Louis, what's going to happen to those that don't believe this message? They wait for 1,000 years. They wait for it. That's a foolish virgin, the human class, the serpent class, and everybody. They don't come up. So the pillar of fire gets out there. There's a uniting, read the message, uniting time and sign. Okay? Go out there and there's a uniting, and Paul and everybody gets to know, understands a lot of things, because Paul was saying, I know in part, I prophesy in part, but there'll come a time that when the prophets come, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. He said, when I grow up, I'll be speaking like a man. He's speaking about spiritual maturity. Okay, spiritual maturity. And then they come up. Okay, our people, our markers that went before us, Brother Ashley, Brother Sunresin, and everybody will come up. My dad, my mom, and everybody, all of them will come up. Your parents that came to know this message, they will come up. You'll see them. Okay, and now you begin to recognize them, because a little bit of infancy get amongst you. You begin to recognize those people. Say, but how? Just like the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John never saw Moses and Elijah. Oh, that's Moses and Elijah. Let's build a tabernacle and let's worship the Lord here. How did they know that? They never saw Moses and Elijah. Infancy. We'll begin to know things that we did not know. And obviously, we're going to get to know the necessary things. Okay, and then we're going to have a 30 to 40 days question and answer. Read the message, the rapture. We're going to have a 30 to 40 day meeting. The world will continue as normal. They're not going to miss you, brother. They're not going to say, where's Louis? They can ask for the keys, Brother Denzel. Give them the keys. Maybe we'll use this church. They can take the title. It will be gone. They'll be preaching Jesus is coming. And then the pillar of fire will incarnate that body. The sun will come in the air. The pillar of fire will incarnate that body. Now he's in a glorified body now. And then we will rise up to meet him. The other angels will go. The Hebrew bride and everybody, all those people will be gathered, will be going in. Remember I told you that there's nobody at the wedding supper. But the Old Testament bride, they're in a glorified condition. They're in the presence of Jehovah God. When I say presence of Jehovah God, they're in that seventh dimension. But they're in the different zones, different area, like in the sixth dimension, there are different pockets. You know, because when Brother Brandon went beyond the curtain, he says, I want to see Jesus. And no, he's a bit higher. So the world, the theophonic world, is made up of so many things. It's not like one big room. It's only there. There's uniting time and sign that takes place. Are we good? So the pillar of fire leaves the earth, right? Incarnates that body. All right? And then we are caught up to meet the Lord. So, okay? So it's two different works. It's two different words. It's two different things. The appearing and the coming. It's two different things. The message, it is I, be not afraid. It says, you know, there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. There's two different words together. Now, when he's using the word Christ, Christ can mean the anointed one. We're doing this for everybody. So Christ is not only speaking. Christ can mean Jesus, Christ, the Son. It can be the Son, it can be the Anointer, it can be the Anointing, okay? It can also mean a prophet, okay? The ministry, the angel of the covenant, that's Christ. Who's that? The Anointer. Can be the Anointing. God coming to anoint, and the Anointed. All right, but this here is speaking about the Father. This is speaking about God, the Anointer. It's two different words, he says. He's appearing now in his church. We see him. We know him. It's the Holy Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit is God. He's very definitive about this. Very definitive about this. In the message, convinced and concerned, I'm convinced that this is God. And I'm convinced that Jesus is coming. So he's telling you that I'm convinced that who's he is God. And I'm also believing that there's a coming. There's a Jesus that's coming. Okay? Comments, put some comments. Notice, he makes a distinction of who is here now and who is coming. The coming of the Lord is not yet. He says, he's convinced that this is God, the one that is with us. So the prophet was certain, the one that is amongst us is the Holy Spirit, is God himself. I'm convinced that he is the first, that his first appearing is the form of the Holy Spirit in the last. That's what the prophet said. I'm convinced. This is the appearing of the Lord. There's two different works. He's appearing amongst us, the works that you're seeing. The message is perseverance. The Lord is appearing, is now appearing amongst his people. Great signs and wonders, raising the dead, healing the sick, doing the very same thing that he did, that he had been done for 2,000 years. Hasn't been doing for 2,000 years. So that means for 2,000 years, it was completely different. But now, the Lord has appeared amongst his people, great signs and wonders, raising the dead, healing the sick, and doing the very same thing that he did, that hasn't been done for 2,000 years. So that means there's a ministry that was absent, that was evident 2,000 years before, which is Son of Man, Alpha. So the church is honed up through that, brought up at the right time. The headstone is coming to meet the church. That means this is when the corporal body is, and then it'll all go together and the raptured ones. The ones that fell asleep is in the first watch, second or third watch, and so on. Okay, so what is happening is they're experiencing the appearing of the Lord. Just like how Jesus went down to the grave. So the prophet is showing you in the seventh church age, the Lord appears. That's what he's showing you. And it's confirmed in the seventh church age in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the Lord appearing. That's not the coming. Knocking at the door took place in 1946. All right? The deceived church, as Israel was bound by the king, they could not follow the real king. Their real king, when he came, they didn't recognize him. So is it today. The King of Glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, the Lord. They don't recognize it. The Lord, Brother Brian, is very emphatic about this. Who is appearing? It's the Lord appearing amongst us, and they don't even know it. He comes and preaches the message, the unrecognized presence of the Lord. Look at the message as well. The message, the token, and now, how can a man read the Bible and see that he promised it, and see Christ return in the last days in the form of the Holy Spirit, and identify he is alive? Which Christ is he talking about? The anointer. That's the token, and that's the sign. Two different works. Remember, when you speak of the token and a token, it's two different things. Okay? So because there's a difference between the token and a token. There's a difference between the sign and a sign. All right. So in closing, it's two different works, two different things, and two different words in the Bible. You have an appearing, you have a coming of the Lord. All right, so what we have seen is the Lord himself. This is Jehovah God himself appearing in the last days. You will not be able to preach this if you got your Godhead wrong. Okay, if you say that the Father, who is the Spirit, became the Son, the sun leaves the earth, you can't bring the sun down. If you bring the sun down, the rapture is over. Can you see where the problem is? If you don't know your Godhead, I trust the Lord bless you. Brother Larry, keep this open. Never mind. Let the people see this across the world. Circulate it to your friends and families. Invite them. Let them know there's a difference between the appearing and the coming of the Lord. The Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are grateful for this morning. Thank you for the faithfulness of your children. And Lord, may they go home and study this word, and realize that we live living in wonderful times. Bless us, we pray now in Jesus' name. God bless you. Brother Logan.